A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on June 3, 1990, in the series On Being an Easter People, entitled The Body of Christ the Spirit Creates. The scripture readings are from Acts 2, verses 1 through 4 and 42 through 47. The text for the sermon is Acts 2, verse 47. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
On June 17, 1978, the cameras of CBS were here, and they recorded our movement out of what is now the parlor, outside, and into this place, which was absolutely jammed with people in our first worship experience in this space. Ted Holmes was the CBS producer, and they spent two or three days here. There were miles and miles of film. I remember seeing it all over the floor and wondering how anything could possibly come out of that tangle of film that was lying all over the place. Interviews with many of you, probing into the life of this community in order to find out what it was all about. And when Ted Holmes was done and had put together the program that was broadcast on the Look Up and Live series, that at that time was the longest running religious program on the network, no longer on Sunday mornings, but for many, many years, Look Up and Live, Ted Holmes entitled the story of our life, A Climate of Love. And I love it. And I would hope that if Ted Holmes would come back on Pentecost 1990 and take another look at the body life of Christ's community, that he might be confirmed in that designation that he made at that time, that here indeed there is a climate of love. St. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth that they might have any number of gifts and be outstanding in any number of ways, but if they had not love, it would amount to nothing. That love was the Spirit's highest gift, and that the church is the body of Christ, called to be a loving community. Jerusalem was filled with pilgrims from all over the world. They had come to celebrate the Old Testament feast of Pentecost, which was celebrated 50 days after Passover. And the followers of Jesus were gathered together for their own worship and prayer when something happened. It was a phenomena that could not be denied, a rushing mighty wind. And they began to speak and to proclaim the glory of God and the wonder of God's grace in Jesus Christ. Such an eruptive experience could not remain within the confines of that small gathering, and they burst out into the street where the people looked at them amazed, open mouthed. You see, on the first Pentecost, they were not quite as reserved as we are. My goodness, I had a tough time getting you to say, well, I understand. You're still dressed too well. That's the problem. But on that first Pentecost, they said, these people are drunk. I pray for the day that we pour out of the street and the community says they're intoxicated with God. Could it ever happen? Could we ever get that excited about that which is ultimately important? Well, Peter stood up and said, look, folks, they're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning, after all. He said, borrowing a text from the Old Testament prophet Joel, this is that of which Joel spoke, that day when God would pour out God's Spirit on all flesh. And so the day of Pentecost was another one of those mighty acts of God in which God moved forward God's program for the redemption of the world through the generous, universal gift of God's Spirit. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of Christ. The New Testament is very untidy in its designations. It is simply God here, God present, God powerful, God undeniably God. And that community grew by thousands as the good news of Christ was shared in Jerusalem by that small little nucleus who had witnessed Jesus' crucifixion, experienced his resurrection, and had waited until they were baptized with the power of the Spirit. The paragraph that was read in the various tongues tells of the event, the first four verses of chapter 2 of the book of Acts. Verses 42 to 47 describe the life of that community. And it's a marvelous portrait of the way in which that early church lived out its life. They met constantly to hear the apostles teach and to share the common life, to break bread and to pray. And a sense of awe was everywhere, and many marvels and signs were brought about through the apostles. All whose faith had drawn them together held everything in common. They would sell their property and possessions and make a general distribution as the need of each required. And with one mind they kept up their daily attendance at the temple, and breaking bread in private houses, shared their meals with unaffected joy as they praised God and enjoyed the favor of the whole people. And the Lord, day by day, added to their number those he was saving. What a community! What dynamite! What wonder, power, and grace! How can I, in a couple of minutes, say anything that might register indelibly in your minds and hearts about that community of faith, that body of Christ that the Spirit creates? Let me try this. I want to suggest that that early community was a community of ecstasy. It was a community of ecstasy. Ecstasy comes, you trace it back from a Greek word that has a prefix, ek, out of, and stasis, standing place. And one that is ecstatic is one that is able to get out of that place where one stands. Out of, in the sense of being released from. Out of, in the sense of being free to say, I am the church, you are the church. When you all stood there rather stiffly saying, I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. When you get ecstatic, you don't worry about who's on your right hand or who's on your left, who's before you or behind you, you just sing. And you make motions. And occasionally, you dance. Now, that early community was an ecstatic community. It was ecstatic in its worship. I suppose that the thing we identify with Pentecost is that phenomena of the tongues. Although on that day, I don't know whether they were speaking in different tongues or whether the miracle was really in the hearing. Wasn't it marvelous to hear the story in these three different tongues that didn't mean anything to us? Language, so important. Community cannot exist without communication. But had it been that original Pentecost, we would have all heard the same thing and understood. That was the miracle. Communication, community. It was an ecstatic experience. And I suppose that the phenomena of tongues tells us as well as anything the nature of that community. It was that which broke the limits with which we usually live. There is a release. There is an outpouring which is beyond the ordinary, beyond that which is manageable and controllable in our well-ordered, controlled lives. It was a community of ecstasy, ecstasy of worship. They were always together. They were in private homes and they were in the temple. They were praying and they were praising. They were breaking bread and saying their sacrifice, making their sacrifices at the temple. It was a community of ecstatic worship. They were able to get out of themselves. How I wish sometime, just for a moment, I might be able to get out of myself. You probably hope not. But I think I'd enjoy it for just a moment. And actually, you would too. And all you lack is courage or the Spirit. It was a community of love. They shared. They were able to transcend all distinctions, wealth, class, social standing. It was a community of mutual caring and sharing. As the communist ideology unravels in Eastern Europe, we might say, well, we knew it all the time. Don't forget, Acts 2:42-47 describes a communist community. The only problem with Karl Marx is that Karl Marx took a biblical ideal and secularized it and tried to affect it through human planning. And when you try to affect that through human planning, the only way you can accomplish it is through coercion. And coercion is exactly what God will not do. When the Spirit creates community, there is an ecstasy of love. One is out of oneself, doing that which in oneself one would never do. Ridiculous, loving things, sharing and caring. And it was an ecstasy of hope, a community of ecstatic hope. They didn't know who they were. Were they Jews? Yes, they were Jews. They went to the temple. They kept going to the temple. Were they Christians? Well, the word wasn't around yet, but they were followers of Jesus. They didn't know if they were still what they were, if they were becoming something else. They were ecstatic in hope because they were awaiting the surprises of grace that God would create, the newness that God would create. The church, that early infant community, was an ecstatic community filled with hope, open to God, and therefore never sure just what was going to happen next. Open to the surprises of grace. The church is the most socially conservative institution in the world. And that has some value. That kept the treasures of the faith alive through the dark ages. And in Eastern Europe right now, the church, ironically, is the most trusted institution because it has remained held on, spared, saved, preserved, something true and good and beautiful. But being a conservative institution, the church is also has a downside in that it has often been the enemy of God. Our forms and our structures, our liturgies and our confessional statements, our ways of doing things have often become identified with absolutes, and therefore we have been closed down to the Spirit who would always be shattering our forms and creating something new. Well, I don't know how you would designate it, but I would call that early community a community of ecstasy. Out of their head, out of their heart, out of their being, worshiping, loving, hoping, leaning into the future. The Spirit of God is the source of Christian radicalism. And I call you this morning to a reckless abandon in the freedom of the Spirit. I call you personally to a moment of letting go and allowing God to do some new and beautiful thing in your life. I call us together as a community to open our lives to fresh winds of the Spirit, that something that has not yet been dreamed of might actually happen here by the power and the presence of the Spirit of the living God, who is symbolized in blowing wind and burning fire. I call us on this Pentecost to commit ourselves anew to the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, I adore you.